This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Ramya Muthan, Kelly McDonald. We are the hosts of Kelly and Company. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. Here's some ways to reach out to the program. If you maybe want to recommend a book for our book club or just ask a question to us, 1-866-509-4545. Mention it for Kelly and Company. And please give us permission to use your message on air. We've had some callers do that lately. Just give them that little ad, because otherwise we can't use your message. We won't do that to you, so you don't have to fear. If you don't want it on the air, it won't be. Also, send us a message, feedback@ami.ca. If you just have a question about AMI TV, AMI Tele, AMI Audio, you can ask it there, anything you might want to know. On Twitter, she's at AllRams with a Z. I'm at AMI Kelly Mack. Thank you very much, folks, for the follows of late. Really appreciate engaging with you out there. It's time to bring in Jeff Ryman, our hot dog eating producer on the program, as he honors the hot dog day. Yay, Jeff. And he's going to talk to us a little bit about the health headlines.
I'm Jeff Ryman with The Health Report. I bring in the latest studies, advice, and health headlines from major newspapers, magazines, and the Canadian press.
So what do you put on your hot dog? What was the stuff that went on at lunch?
I feel like it, of course, so it's healthy. Pretty simple for the most part. Usually I just have... So here's the thing. There are those like smaller hot dogs, and then you have your jumbo hot dogs. And the jumbo hot dogs are the way to go, by the way. But on it, I have a nice brioche bun with just a little bit of mustard and some hot peppers. I'll keep it pretty simple. If there's no hot peppers, then just mustard.
What if there was no brioche bun?
A regular bun will
Sounds
do.
A little bougie.
Okay. It is. You know what? I just started to get into it. Like, if you go to the store and if you get those golden brioche buns, oh my goodness, it makes a difference between hamburgers or hot dogs. They have both types of buns. Oh, like, it elevates that burger or hot dog game to the next level. So wow. I like to keep it simple. But if there's fixings available, if you could dress it up like Chicago style or something, I'd totally be down for that as well.
You like the bun toasted, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just lightly, yeah. Lightly toasted.
It depends. Today, I didn't. I didn't toast my bun, but, you know, I'm not opposed to it. It sort of depends on what mood I'm in, but I'm down for both. Both are great.
My mother would get me upset when I was a kid sometimes, because she'd want a hot dog. Oh, I'd get so excited. What she'd fail to tell me is she didn't have buns, so it was going to be on bread. And that was just it. It would just, I would become so distraught. You know, here's your hot dog. And and it would just totally, and she'd never mind,
that
just eat
evil.
It. It
that
is.
It is.
And I don't know why, but it is. And then, of course, she'd try to sneak. I put a piece of cheese on it, so don't stop it. Just eat it.
There's one thing worse than that, and I agree, Kels, that was pretty devastating as a kid when your mom, your dad, babysitter, whoever it may have been, said, hey, we run out of buns, and you're going to be having it with bread. Like, there was really nothing worse, except for now that I look back at it, I used to microwave hot dogs.
Me too. Ugh,
it's just disgusting to think about.
Yeah,
but you know, or boiling them. Like I used to dislike barbecued hot dogs for some reason. Like, I just didn't think the barbecue was the way to go, and I always thought boiling them or, my goodness, throwing them in the microwave was the
and
way to go.
Split. But you had to stick the fork in it, because otherwise you'd forget and it would split on you. But I would get my mother back, because then she'd come into the kitchen sometimes and I'd be at the fridge. What are you doing? Oh, I'm having a hot dog. I'd eat them raw just to upset her.
Yep.
You know, just like, what's wrong with
good
you? You know what?
Days.
And then, of course, they try you know what will happen in your stomach, right? No, what? So you tell other people of that right now, they're cringing. Raw hot dog. No, that's what the issue is with them. Jeffy, where are we starting?
We're going to start with some vaccine news. And honestly, I feel like I haven't talked a whole lot about it in the last couple of health reports. I mean, we were on a roll. We had like a little bit of a streak going with COVID and vaccine news. But this is a pretty new news piece that we're obviously seeing, come to fruition over the next couple of weeks. And that is that American travelers are getting set to come north of the border for the first time in a year and a bit, as borders obviously have been closed for the last 15, 16 months or so. But Canada obviously welcoming the fully vaccinated U.S. travelers as COVID-19 cases rise in some states south of the border, but infectious disease experts say the risk posed by vaccinated visitors is low. So I guess that is encouraging to hear, that the infectious disease experts do think that allowing fully vaccinated travelers from the U.S. and then soon abroad poses a fairly low risk to the cases in Canada. And one of those infectious disease experts said it's the next logical step in the reopening plans and would mark a shift from efforts to eliminate risk to those to mitigate it. So when I first heard that the borders were opening, I was a little bit iffy, but our cases in Canada seems to be going down. It seems to be a steady trend. But there's also that thought in the back of your mind, if you're looking what's happening at a global standpoint, like I mentioned, some states are seeing a pretty rapid rise in cases. You look over into England, the UK, their cases have started to rise just a little bit as well. In Europe, some countries are facing another spike in COVID-19 cases. So that's where my hesitancy comes from. But I'm going to rely.
I think what you're going to get there, Jeff, is people who will argue the point that this wave that's currently happening is of the unvaccinated. So they wouldn't be allowed to cross unless they prove they've had both vaccine. So I think that's why some borders are saying, we will let you in. But I also know the United States is hesitant because they're also have a closed border with Mexico right now with the ongoing issues, and they don't want to open both us coming across there until they're ready to open the border with Mexico at this current time.
Yeah. And like I said before, I'm going to rely on the experts on this, the disease experts. And one of those experts says the risk won't be zero, but we have to start making these adjustments to move back to a normal life. We can't stay in suspended case with our nearest neighbor for, years and years and years. Like, it's just not something that, first of all, we would want to do. And second of all, that we can really do. We're not going to remain closed forever, right?
Jeff, they look at examples of pandemics that have come across the world that have gone on for years. And the world still has to behave as a world. You have to change what you do. And many of those people, as they grew older and people were saying, we noticed that's a carryover from when you were younger, isn't it? Yes, it is. And it's the same as people who have lived through wars or whatever, who maybe you hold on to everything forever. Well, that's the way I was raised at the time that impression was put on me. We were in the midst of a war. And I think that's what we're seeing now, that we have to find the way to adjust because schools have to happen. People have to go to work or work from home, and we can change what we do in every facet of our life to a certain degree. But it's like we said with sports, Jeff, most people when the pandemic hit, athletes and all, were saying, well, it's just sports. Come on, give your head a shake. It's not important right now. But you knew there was going to be that time where it's a business. It's got to become important because it's a livelihood for hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, for sure. And just going to look at the vaccination rates, around 55% of Americans have received their full vaccination. In Canada, obviously a little bit of a higher rate with the first jab, around 70% or so, and around just over, 50% have received two shots. So that's quite a bit of people who have been fully vaccinated. And mind you, keep in mind this, that you're technically, I believe what I've been reading is that around 14 days after is when a lot of, you know, experts consider that you would have a pretty good immunity to the virus. So, you know, just because you got your shot, your second shot, say yesterday, doesn't mean that you're fully protected from two shots as of right now. So, but still, very good numbers on the vaccine front, specifically more so for Canada. The U.S. has sort of tailed off a little bit after a very fast start, but Canada around 70%. So doing pretty good.
They say our numbers are falling off. It's almost like now people are observing, saying, well, if that, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, Jeff, you go ahead and there you go. Oh, yeah, I'll be right behind you eventually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's fair. People are waiting to see what goes on, but that's where you get the doctors saying, guys, it doesn't work that way. You got to get in. You got to trust if you can. And if you have no physical reason to not give this a shot, you need to, so we can get back to normalcy. And that's a lot to put on people who have whether their concerns are, I don't believe in it or whatever. But again, hopefully the proof is there in front of us if we look at the numbers and aren't so quick to say, oh, that's the government or that's the medical people making it up. It's a conspiracy with the FBI, CIA, and RCMP.
Yeah, it definitely protects you. I mean, the numbers, wherever you look, back up all of the science that is proven to work with these vaccines. Although, you know, a fully vaccinated person can still catch COVID-19, though it happens rarely. And obviously the illness is usually less severe when it does occur.
And I think that's the key.
Yeah, that is the key for sure. Yeah. The less severe outcomes and hospitalizations are, you know, nowhere near what it would be like if somebody has either no vaccination or even just the one shot. I mean, so it's very important to get both doses. And there's actually a recent study from the UK compared spread among household contacts after vaccinated and unvaccinated family members got COVID-19. And the study found at least one dose transmission to unvaccinated members by 40 to 50%. So the people who are vaccinated are obviously reducing transmission as well, which seems to be a huge issue with this virus because it seems to spread like wildfire. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how things pan out with the reopening of the Canadian border to the U.S. and then obviously to the rest of the world. And we also can't forget about the Olympics. I mean, there are athletes in one area right now from across the world. And once they disperse back into their own countries, you know, knock on wood, hopefully everything goes well there too. But I have a question for you guys, because personally, I don't have any plans to travel outside of the country in the foreseeable future. You know, I'll probably wait till everything settles, whether that's a year, maybe 2 years. But as of right now, I just don't feel comfortable traveling outside of Canada for any reason. I mean, I would love to. I think most people would love to travel right now. But from a personal standpoint, I just can't really get on board with traveling outside of my own country.
Yeah, I guess it depends as well, like in terms of what you would want to do if you're traveling, right? Is it just to visit, stay in local cities, or are you trying to go out and do cruises and all this kind of stuff? So it really does depend on what exactly you're wanting to do and what your comfort level is letting you want to do. But at the same time, Jeffy, there's also price point to think about, right? Like there's so much expense that comes with traveling now, because of everything that's going on. And I don't know if people can even digest sometimes the flight tickets and how much they're going to cost for you to get out of here. So I don't know.
I fear the flight as I would when I have to start coming back into Toronto for business, for meetings over there. I fear the train. The rest of it, I would not go on any, you know, anything, cruises or anything, but I'd love to be able to trust in a friend if I'm visiting, you know, somebody and staying with a limited, but I'd still employ social distancing, masking with people I have no idea of, because I feel like I've been able to move around and been careful. And I've been in, you know, hospital over the last year and I don't want to say, oh, well, touch wood, you know, still touching wood. I don't want to say if I didn't get it done, I won't get it, because that's just bunk. You can't let your guard down. But I think I'm comfortable enough with what I do. So to make sure. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. No problem, guys. See ya.
Jeff Ryman joins us for health headlines. Tomorrow he'll be back for What in the World, and we'll get into talking to him then on the program. In a moment, Margaret Weldon with In the Know. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.